Blog Talk Radio.
A new
direction, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you, mighty Lord, mighty God, mighty Jesus. Hallelujah, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for another Bible study. My brother, my sister, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Shalom. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Sapar. Thank you, Lord. Coming live again and another our Tuesday night Bible study with so much information to share tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. We thank God for his love, for his mercy that endures forever. Amen. Thank you, mighty Lord. Lord, we pray, help my brothers and sisters, Lord, to log in tonight and billions and trillions of warriors, angels, Archangel, Lord, with the computer, the cell phone, Lord, all the communication devices, in Jesus' name, help them to log in, Lord Jesus, and listen and be blessed. In Jesus' name, speak to our life through your word, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty, mighty Jehoshua. Amen. Shalom to those that are logging in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I want to thank each and one of you that has sent me all the links for the pine needle tea. As far as I know, they said that's the more effective one, the white pine needle tea. I don't know the difference between the white and the green, because pine needle, as far as we know, is green, but somehow they said the white pine needle tea is the effective one as they ended up testing it. I have received several links from my brothers and sisters in regard to the information of the pine needle tea. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Highly effective against COVID-19 vaccine. Hallelujah. But also, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Someone's are reminding me that, yes, we have talked about the pine needle tea that is effective against COVID-19 vaccine. To bind the demon inside the vaccination family and command it in the name of Jesus, those demons inside to be forced, drink every cup that you give to them. Hallelujah. So she recommended that we would rebuke the demon when we will give the cup of tea to our family who's been vaccinated, which I think is a great idea. Prayer, send prayer with it. And like Brother Miguel was saying on Sunday, we have to pray to the Lord. We have to ask the Lord. We need to trust the Lord in all this. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So thank you, each and one of you, for the link that I have received for each and one of you. Okay. I did confirm that the tea Brother Michael bought, it is good as the one I bought myself. So that's another thing that we want to keep in, hallelujah, in mind. Here's what someone had people even from Germany emailing me information, requesting information. So I apologize because I emailed back and I said I'll be live tomorrow night, as people was emailing me yesterday in regard to the information. I forget that the time in Germany and now is totally different. Please, I apologize for those that are in different hour, like California and different state, that they're totally in a different hour and it's difficult for them to listen to the programs live. So my apology, my brother and sister, for that. We tend to forget that everyone is in different hour and it's not easy for people to listen to the program, especially if you're in Africa and it's 1, 2 or 3 a.m. right now where you're supposed to be sleeping. Amen. Which some people do listen to the Lord's Hour live, okay? In those countries, my brother and sister, they make the effort to listen to the program live. Amen. And I'm sure they'll be blessed because, you know, you want to stay focused, amen, during those time. So the information is that the Pioneer, it does helps against COVID-19 by saying, some say COVID-19 virus, amen. It does help a lot, amen. What I'm putting in the chat room is a link of what I received from some of the people now. Yesterday, my brother and sister, good information. People can send me more information. And here they actually have, in this page that I just posted, they have the information on how to work the tea to get it to be effect. Okay, I have watched video on it. Really good information. Before we talk about it, I want to go and read the Bible first. My brother and sister, Psalm 83, my God, verse 14, make them like the whirlwind dust, like shafts driven by the wind, like fire burning up the forest, like flame that set the mountain ablaze. Drive them away with your storm. Drive them away with your storm. I witnessed this in the great tribulation. My brother and sister, God driving away or nations that got driven away with storm, as the Bible says. My brother and sister, isn't that incredible? Hallelujah, that I saw it, and now that I read it in the Bible, I find it so awesome, because it's such a confirmation. So drive them away with your storm. King David pray, or the writer of Psalm pray. Terrify them with your tempest. And the tempest is also a storm. My brother and sister, okay, hurricane, tornadoes, just like tempest, storm, my brother and sister. And they're very destructive. We know that. They're very destructive. So David prayed that they would be driven away. Shalom, Sister Luna. What is storm in Psalm 83:14 and on? That's where we are. We're going to finish today with Psalm 83. I seen there's a lot of more information there that we could study, my brother and sister. I want to continue with Babylon the Great. There's also so much information to share. I just wanted to finish this tonight and then continue with Babylon the Great, because what is unfolding internationally is just a confirmation of Ezekiel 38. We'll get back to Ezekiel 38 again. We'll provide all the information, all the revelation the Lord will give us. We will provide it, my brother and sister. Amen. So the pine needle tea information here on how to use it, and if you purchase it organic. The one I recommended that Brother Michael went and got, which it is the same I have also, is a B-A-H-D-A-M-T. Okay, and it's called the Silver Needle. Praise the Lord, Sparkle. Praise the Lord, White Tea. my brother and sister, I'm putting this information in the chat room because I know a lot of people will be asking for. That's the box I'm holding on right now. I'm holding it in my hand right now. And it's 100% pure white tea. Okay? Which this is what the doctor, when she tested this tea, okay, she found that this pure white tea was highly effective, my brother and sister. And they know this, okay? I'm putting even the gram of the ounces first and then the gram of the tea is 50 gram that this tea would have. So there's the information, okay? As you look it up, it is a green box with two yellow sticker top and bottom. Amen. They do have it on Amazon. Remember that some of these can be limited amount. So if you can get your hand on it as quick as possible, do. This is the one that she found that the white tea is very effective. I know there are other tea available, but this one is very effective. So if you can get that for your family, you will help them greatly. Amen. So I received several links on this information, and I thank each and one of you for sending me the links, the information. Amen. Because that's, you know. So terrify them with tempest, fill their faces with shame. And again, when we looked in the Bible, end time, nation being filled with shame, it always related to nuclear weapon, sudden destruction. Fail, shame, okay? Their face is pale or shame. It's in regard to nuclear weapon, okay? And I don't say that the God is the one creating these nuclear weapons, but we know that in the end time, they are going to use them, my brother and sister. They were not just created to be storage. They were created to be used. Jeremiah 36, ask ye now and see whether a man does travail with a child. Why do I see every man with his hand and his loin as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Paleness. Amen. Paleness. So we know that, my brother and sister, God is saying that this destruction will definitely come on the end of time. Amen. Their faces turn into paleness. That's Jeremiah 30. In Jeremiah 30, I've been talking about Jeremiah 30 for years now. Because this is one of the chapters that I mentioned I was going to bring in regard to what's going to happen to Israel and the end of time, my brothers and sisters. Great tribulation. In Jeremiah 30, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hallelujah, thus speak the Lord God of Israel, saying, write all these words that I have spoken unto thee. For lo, the day will come, saith the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I have given to their father, and they shall possess it. And I love Pastor Tim on YouTube for this reason, because he said that the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people. It's truly, it is. Because right here in Jeremiah 30, verse 1, verse 2, it is a mighty confirmation that this land belongs to the Jewish people. And right now they're getting ready. There is a meeting that Biden and his people are putting together with Naftali Bennett, okay, and the Palestinian leader, and the signing that supposedly they're coming into agreement if dividing the eastern part of Jerusalem, giving the eastern part to the Palestinian, well, they will have their capital, my brother and sister, okay? The west part will belong to the Jewish people. It is a piece of land, but it belongs to the Jewish people, okay? And the UN members, over 37 of them, totally agreed on this division of the land. And in the moment they go ahead with this, they are going to give it to the Palestinians. They're going to divide Jerusalem. And they're going to give the eastern part to the Palestinian so they can have their capital, my brother and sister. And that is wrong. That is not the will of God, my brother and sister. And when the Jewish people lose this land, okay, remember that the Jewish people have already lost land to the Syrian. There's a piece of land that the Syrian possesses today. Okay, I believe it's either east, north of Syria that belongs to the Jewish people. Okay, and the Jewish people have lost a lot of land, including Shalom Sister Consolo, the West Bank. That belongs to the Jewish people, which already been given to the Palestinian. Okay? The capital that they're planning to create is Palestine. My brother and sister, Palestine. Wicked, wicked Palestine. And the evil part of Palestine that they're trying to create is the idol they're going to make and put there, my brother and sister. And I'm going to, Sister Denise is going to join me tonight. I don't know if she's in the air yet. She's going to join me to read, my brother and sister. I would love to read, hallelujah, 2 Kings 23, because I believe, my brother and sister, 2 Kings 23, hallelujah, it's what they should be doing. It's what they should do, my brothers and sisters. It's what they should do. Okay, that in 2 Kings 23, when they began to cleanse Jerusalem, Israel, they utterly destroyed all their idols, my brothers and sisters. Under the fear of the Lord and obedience, they knew what they needed to do to clean out the land. And if they give the eastern part of Jerusalem to the Palestinian to create Palestine, they're going to place idol in Jerusalem. And that is not the will of God. That is not biblical. It's not the will of God. Every time they did this, judgment came upon the land. Utter destruction came. Okay? And you can see that the Bible said that when they will say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. Of course, God will bring sudden destruction. It's throughout the Bible that every time, this one was a major sin of King Zedekiah in the times of Jeremiah. He had idol inside of his palace, my brother and sister. And this is why the destruction of King Nebuchadnezzar or through King Nebuchadnezzar came upon Jerusalem. So this will bring destruction, my brother and sister. And the Bible said they will not escape. So this is why we got to keep going back and forward on the word of God. Sister Denise, if you're there, please let me know. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, because I want her to read 2 Kings 23. That entire chapter, then we go back to hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Judges 8, we'll read Judges 8. My brother and sister, so significant to Psalm 83, what we are beginning today. But they should not allow Palestine. They should not allow idol worshiping in East Jerusalem. Which that is what they're about to sign. Last year, it was not signed, although the party were coming into agreement to sign it, my brother and sister. But this year, they're planning to come to the table. And the agreement is that when they do come to the table this time, those documents are dividing Jerusalem will be signed. And the UN will sign it in agreement. That's what they're planning. That's what they're talking about. It's terrible, my brother and sister. terrible. Netanyahu party cannot come into office again for 7 years. This was decided by the court in Israel, my brother and sister, which points out to the great tribulation, 7 years. God said it will be so, and it is so. My brother and sister, when I heard this online, I was stunned. There's a lot of people like me that said, oh, definitely the Lord is coming now. Hallelujah. Definitely the Lord is coming. Because this signing of the court for 7 years, this agreement they're about to sign, which began the great tribulation. My brother and sister, definitely. And what the God said to me, it's over. The Lord says to me, it's over. Confirmation. And the witness of 2 or 3. This is zero. This is zero, my brother and sister. He said it is over. The signs are speaking for themselves. 7 year peace treaty, 7 year agreement they're signing in Israel through the court. Once they sign those documents, Biden and his people are planning to come to the table and sign it. UN is coming to the table and sign it. Now they're planning to do this quickly. Until hallelujah. My brother and sister, so Russia is still not backing down. As this word that they said that they have increased a soldier, and their word that they're backing down. They're not sure yet what Russia's doing. Some say they're backing down. Some are saying they're increasing. Some television channels are saying they're backing down. Other television channels like CNBC. NBC, CNN, they're speaking with people from there. They say, no, they're increasing the troop. They're not backing down. I saw some of the news that CNN was passing today. They were communicating directly with leaders and my brother and sister, leader near Russia, my brother and sister, and they were saying, no, we're watching them. They're not backing down, as some other channels are saying. They're still strong. They're building. They're moving weapons. My brother and sister. So we'll see what happens. Hallelujah. So if they are, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see. They have not agreed to the term. President Putin wants documents signed by the U.S. that Ukraine will not be part of NATO. And until he gets those documents signed, he's not backing down. He might be using other strategy because the nations are giving the Ukrainians army and people weapons. So if the Russians go in there, they'll be like sitting ducks. They'll get them quickly. And that's the idea why the nations are giving them weapons. So President Putin has ordered their planes, thousands of feet up in the air to take out those targets quickly from the air. Don't give them a chance to shoot a bullet, practically. So taking a different strategy in regard to what the enemies are doing. They're getting support from the United States and many other nations, and the weapon that they're giving them are lethal, and the Russians are rethinking how are they going to go about taking out the Ukrainians' army. And it will make it worse. It will make it worse. Everything that is happening is going to make things worse, my brothers and sisters. There's a lot of misinformation. They were speaking life on Ukraine today, and that's not what they're saying, but then the media here is giving people other information. That's why I tell people, listen to international information, because the local and national information are completely in total disagreement. One say one thing, the other one says another. We'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll see what happens with all this. When God says it's the end, it's the end. We'll definitely see things change, my brother and sister, quickly. So he prayed, may God make them like the whirlwind dust, my brother and sister. And the dust that they will make, 2 Kings 23 tells you how they deal with their idols. You got to take their idols, because behind those idols are principality, wicked, evil, fallen demons. And as long as people are holding on to those idols, those principality, they're giving those principality authority over their life. My brother and sister. And this is why God wants a nation to break those idols. It removes the authority of the devil over their life, their nation, their income, their family, their everything, their finance. My brother and sister, it's just so powerful. Thank you, Lord. So it needs to be done, hallelujah, according to God says, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's very important, praise you, Lord, that it be done how God says so. Not how people think it should be done. Because you get a lot of ideas by people, but they're not necessarily according to the will of God, to the plan of God, my brother and sister. Very important. So, okay, Sister Denise, shalom, sister.
Shalom. Good evening, brother.
Amen. Welcome, sister. Yes, we can hear you fine.
Oh, brothers and sisters.
Amen. Can you read for us 2 Kings 23, the entire chapter?
Yes, let me get to that chapter. 2 Kings.
Praise you, Lord. That's okay. For those that want to follow along, 2 Kings 23, chapter 23.
2 Kings 23. Okay, brother, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Then the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took their stand for the covenant. Verse 4, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priest of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried their ashes to Bethel. Verse 5, then he removed the idolatrous priests from the kings of Judah, had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kidron, and ground it to ashes, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings from the wooden image. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba. Also, he broke down the high places at the gates, which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech. Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the courts, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The altars were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down and pulverized there and threw their dust into the brook of Kidron. Then the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he broke down, and he burned the high place and crushed it to powder and burned the wooden image. As Josiah turned, he saw the tombs that were there on the mountain, and he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, "What gravestone is this that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things, which you have done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone. Let no one move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. Then Josiah also took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. And he did to them according to all the deeds he had done in Bethel. He executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them. And he returned to Jerusalem. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover to the Lord your God. It is written in the book of the covenant. Surely such a Passover had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spiritists, the household gods and idols, all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Now before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath, with which his anger was aroused against Judah, because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. And the Lord said, "I will also remove Judah from my sight, as I have removed Israel, and he will cast off the city Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, 'My name shall be there.'" Should I go on, brother?
Verse, you're in now?
Verse 28.
Okay, hold on there, sister. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. This is the way to deal with cleansing a nation, as a household, a life. Every idol needs to be removed and destroyed. There are idols in New York City, California, Texas, Vegas, across the nations. From 6 years to now, they have been brought into these nations from other wicked nations, and they have been placed in different places in the United States for youth people to go and speak with the fallen ones. It's a wicked religion that they're practicing, but it's nothing new. Just today was on the news. I don't know. I don't remember the name of the state now. They were worshiping Satan here in the United States. If someone knows the state, I don't know if it's Kentucky or Missouri. I can't remember what state they were saying on the news that they were worshiping Satan. My brother and sister, these idol worshiping are veiled in the United States. and fallen angels, fallen evil, now have led the people even to go worship the devil. And declare in the media, on television, they're worshiping the devil. My brother and sister, this will only bring greater judgment upon this nation and upon any nation who does the same. And God wanting his people to be separated because they are elected and chosen by him. And for them to go ahead and commit this wickedness before his eyes, it angers him. Because there's nothing in his word that would tell his people to go do something like this. On the contrary, it'll tell them to stay away. It's on the news. This news was on today. So if you Google it, you'll find it. Someone can find it for me. The state that they're saying they're worshiping Satan now in the United States. It's terrible.
Oklahoma, maybe?
What's happening? It's evil. It's wicked. Should not be happening. It should not be so. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. So then the king sent to gather all the elder of Judah and Jerusalem. All the elder. All the people that are in charge of the nations, like all the leaders. Let's bring them together. Let's get the leaders together. Let's bring them together. And the king went out to the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him and the priests and the prophet and all the people. Hallelujah. Both small and great to read in the ears of all the word of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. They opened up the Bible and they said, let's see what God has to say in regard to this matter. Because the king understood that the wickedness, if they wanted God to bless the nation, to bless the children, to bless the household, to bring prosperity upon the nation, they needed to move these idols from among the nation. Because this is what kindled his anger, the wickedness that they were practicing, my brother and sister. And the king stood by the pillar, made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandment, his testimony, his statute, with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform these words with the covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They agreed. They said, king will do the same. And this is all being done before the Lord. There was still more house cleaning that they needed to do. This was just the beginning. Let's remember what the Lord has to say in his word in regard to this idol worshiping. And now that we understand, that we know, thou shalt not worship other gods, God says. Okay? And he's very clear in his commandment. Things that we should do, the things that we should not do. And the king understood that what they were doing, my brother and sister, was evil, wicked, my brother and sister. And the only way for him to bring them back to God was to show them their error, their wickedness, their evil, what they were doing. And a lot of it was being done in secret. Hallelujah. God says through the word of Moses, I am the Lord thy God who have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or in the likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them. This is what they were doing. They were bowing to these idols. They were worshiping these idols. And in the United States, this has been happening for 6 years plus now, my brother and sister. You got six sex in all three different states doing the same, worshiping this idol. For 6 years, three different states doing it in America. My brother and sister, is that a coincidence? Is that a coincidence? 666. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God. I am jealous God. And the moment God sees this happening, he is jealous. My brother and sister, it's like you women seeing your husband hugging another woman and kissing another woman. What would your reaction be? Think about it for a second. But it's not happening. Your husband is not cheating on you. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you what would happen if you see that. Okay? How will you act? Will you be violent or will you be calm? You will not be calm. Okay? You will not tolerate that, right? Exactly. God feels the same. If you cannot wash your husband with another woman, okay, because a lot of people go crazy, you'll be very angry, right? So God feels the same for you and I. As you're worshiping other God, we that belong to him, we that have been bought with a price, nation that God has raised, George Washington and all these presidents, and now all his descendants are turning their back on God. My brother and sister, not good. I am jealous, God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children unto the third, fourth generation of them that hate me. Look what God said. Anyone who does such a thing, hate me. You cannot love your master, Jesus said. Cannot serve your master, he said. Cannot. Because you cannot love them both. Cannot love them both. You'll love one and hate the other one, he said. Okay? So a lot of people, I was driving a couple of days ago, 2.5 hours to here to my house. And I put in the Christian station that I like to listen to. The man was reading out of the writing of Buddha Bible and the Holy Bible. And he says, look what Buddha says and look what the Bible says. Oh, my Lord, did that really got to me? I said, how can he read the Bible of Buddha and compare it to the Holy Bible? Because this is what these churches are teaching their people, God's people. Especially now that they're vaccinated. They're bringing all kinds of religion into the church. Islamic religion. Chinese religion. My brother and sister. They want to worship Allah. They want to worship Buddha. And they want to worship God. And guess what? To God, that is garbage, as we say. Okay? It's like mixing your food that you love with something else and bringing it to your table. And you say, take this away from me. This is garbage. I'm not going to eat that. You'll either give me meat or you give me fish. You're not going to miss this. You're not going to bring me this mess. Okay? My brother and sister, God is a jealous God. Thou shalt not buy thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. They're ending hating God. They're ending hating Father God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. This generation are ending hating God. These men think that the word of Judah are so wise. My brother and sister, no. The word of Muhammad the prophet cannot be compared with the word of Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is God, Revelation 1, Almighty. How can you compare the word of a man with the word of God? Impossible. This is what these people are doing. It's an abomination what they're practicing. Verse says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This is what they're doing. When they believe all these other gods and pray to all these other gods, and then they want to come to the real God and call upon his name and think it's okay what they're practicing, they are wrong. They're taking the name of God in vain. What happened, O Lord, if they take your name in vain? For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. My brother and sister, in other words, if you come before God in his court, if you come before God in his court and you have taken his name in vain, how can the Lord, your lawyer, or how can you represent yourself in court and say, God, that I do, that I practice, I didn't mean to do so. I'm sorry. And God may say, I forgive you for that. But you did something that I don't tolerate, that I will not hold you guiltless by. You took my name, my holy name, you took it in vain. For that reason, you're not held guiltless here. You cannot walk away from my court. You are guilty. My brother and sister, guilty. I was having a dream, a revelation, of how far they had taken AI. And in the revelation I was seeing, I was wondering that Google has said that they have broke the human mind code. Their computer have broke the code. They can now know what people are thinking, planning. But what the Lord has shown me that they are doing in secret is mind control with AI. I saw how they were controlling someone, human beings, with this AI. That it seems so simple that they're putting it in cell phones. And I saw them controlling people with it, my brother and sister. This is why it was so important for them to vaccinate everyone, because then they get to control them. My brother and sister, disobedience, what the Lord is showing me, how far disobedience goes in a nation, in a people that forget God. My brother and sister, how far they'll be willing to go? How far will they go away from God? My brother and sister, I saw how through that AI they will speak to someone's brain and they will make this person do things against their own will. My brother and sister, the person was walking away and this other person with the AI was speaking into this person's brain, because the technology is there through the vaccine. And the person was, lift your hand, move your leg. And the person has no control. I can see the woman trying to stop them from doing to her body what they were doing. Like making her walk or run or jump or lift her leg, lift her arm. She had no control. They were just speaking it to her, and she has to do it. She was doing it out of her control. They were totally controlling her body. My brother and sister, that's how far it is now, the Lord was showing me. My brother and sister, how many times did God spoke to us for us to commit our life to him and only seek him and only serve him, that he is a jealous God? Because he knows how far these wicked fallen ones are going to take it. They already did this to the Noah generation. And Jesus said that at his coming, it will be like in the days of Noah. They did it to Lot generations. Jesus said that will also be like in the Lot generations. My brother and sister, they controlled them. They manipulated them. My brother and sister, all flesh was corrupted. The word corruption goes very far. It's hard to explain the word corruption because a lot of people, corruption, so when you say this meat, it's no good. It's like corrupted or rotten. This type of corruption is totally damaged in a certain way. With the meat, a person is still alive, but totally being controlled, manipulated. Their thoughts, even thoughts they're going to put in people's mind, controlling thoughts, I was seeing them doing so. And he was showing me this. They could not see me. The Lord had me be invisible among them, but I could see what they were doing. My brother and sister, and one of the Googles took me inside Google buildings that are totally, they will not allow people there that are high-ranked people only can walk into that place. I was inside there seeing what they're doing now. I didn't know they had taken this far, but the Lord wanted to show me how far they had taken it. Because I said, Lord, what else you want me to share with the people? And what he was showing me was very wicked, my brother and sister. That means I'll be able to control judges, people in politics and high office, much more. They're taking this stuff much higher than what a lot of people think. They're going to use especially against the vaccinated. They will be under their control, or they're coming under their control, exactly how they wanted it. They're getting away with it, my brother and sister. 2 Kings 23:4, the commander Hilkiah, high priest, the priest of the second order, and the keeper of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessel that were made for veil. How far will humanity take it? How far? Even the tool, the instrument of worship to the fallen God, they will make. As it was for the house of God. But they will make it specific to the fallen one. Their temple right now in Europe, dedicated to the fallen angels that are coming out. Okay? How many of you have seen the Medusa commercial? They put out at night. It's an Amazon commercial. A Medusa wearing these glasses. Let me tell you how the commercial is made. They want you to believe that this Medusa woman is a woman wearing this special suit. And with a computer, this is what they want you to believe. They manipulate the movement, the look, the graphic. They want you to believe that this is done in front of a green screen, and that they go in with their computer later on after they do the recording, and they will add or take away, they do this and that. And I'm going to tell you, they do this in part, yes. But the part that you don't know they do, it was they use the real demon, full of snake, out of the pit of hell, the demon comes in the dark room. They use the real demon with the real snake on the head and the tail, the real Medusa. She put her glasses on her. After they've done this with the artist, they have the artist leave after they did it with the green screen, the fake one. Then they have the demon afterward privately come in there, the real demon, with the real snake head movement. And after they record the real demon in that room, they bring it into production, and they begin to manipulate the graphic to make the real demon kind of fake or more human looks. The Lord says, look how real demons, says to me, are on television in these days. My brother and sister. And people cannot even tell they are, because they're taking the real snake, the real evil demon from the pit of hell, and they're working it to make it look not so real. In order for people to believe that it's all graphic, it is all effect, it is screen manipulation. Not so. My brother and sister, it is a real demon, the Lord says to me, that they're using on television. My brother and sister, and they're manipulating the graphic to make it look not so real. Because if you see how real she is, you will run away out of the room. And they want to make it likable. My brother and sister. Okay? Likable. It's incredible what's happening. It's incredible. It is incredible what's happening in these last days. But God said in his word, my brother and sister, that thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Because this is what they're seeking. They're seeking you to worship them. But God says, no, thou shalt not. You will not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Because guess what? They want you to serve them. The moment they have you bow down to them every day, they want you to commit to serving them. And God says, no, so it begins with you worshiping them, bowing down the sub to them and serving them. For I am the Lord, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children, the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Because God is saying there, if you bow yourself to them, you are going to end up hating me. And this is going to be the outcome of you hating me. What will be the outcome? Hallelujah. Visiting. I will visit judgment, the iniquity upon them and the children and the third, fourth generation of them that hate me. You're going to end up hating God, the gospel, Jesus, churches, everything about God. You are going to end up hating. Sound familiar today in the media internationally and people everywhere? You talk about Jesus now. When I put this video on YouTube now, oh, it's flowing from everywhere now. Oh, I can read a passage on the Bible and just explain the passage alone. And people across the state and the nation now, they're so angry. They're so angry. Angry. They want nothing of the Bible on YouTube now. They have begun to police the internet. They are limiting what people can do online. They're blocking people off. My brother, they are arresting their pages. Material that people put on now is being deleted, removed permanently out of the internet. It's being policed. My brother and sister, it's incredible. God says, showing mercy on thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. God wants to show you his mercy. And once you get to know his mercy, you'll say like David, that mercy endure forever. It will endure forever, my brother and sister. Mercy of God endure forever. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. And taking it in vain is like Proverbs says, vain word. Speaking vain word, which also include evil word, wicked word. Don't speak wicked and use the name of the Lord. No. God says no. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name and Bane. Notice the word. The word guilt or guiltless or guilty is a word from the court. You don't get to, they don't get to tell you that you're guilty or not guilty unless you are in court, my brother and sister. In other words, when this humanity, this generation come before God, the next time, God help us and have mercy, those that are vaccinated, that have rejected his gospel, that have mocked him, the next time they're going to see God face to face, they're going to face him as a judge. As a judge, my brother and sister. And as a judge, the Bible said that he is the judge. Jesus Christ is the judge of the living and dead. Those that are dying without Christ, he is the judge of them. Hallelujah. And those that are living still, he is the judge. They're being judged for the word and their action. Jesus said that each one of us will give him an account for every word we have spoken. We have to be careful what we say, unless we say it to glorify him. It's better that if we have nothing to say, it's to worship him. Listen to worship most of your day. You don't want to be on that day in court, the judgment day, answering for everything you felt that you felt you were going through. Some people say, I'm going through so much, and they speak all kinds of evil. No. No, no. Bite your tongue. My brother and sister, bite your tongue. The word of God is alive. There has not been a generation upon the earth that God has not judged, that his word has not judged. Bible said that word will judge us in the last days. There has not been a generation that has not been judged, my brother and sister, that has not gone through the pruning of the Lord. Every single generation back, I remember when God showed me in a vision of 1:9. I wanted to know all the people that have served him before us, and how was it? I was curious, and I was asking, and I wanted to know, and God wanted to show me. And I love that. He answered the petition of a heart, the Bible says. He took me. He took me back 100 years, and I saw people serving God. He took me back another 100 years, another 100 years, and showed me generation going back. As he was taking me back 300-400 years, there was no United States. There was just a land here of Indians. And he was taking me back that even amongst other generations, there were a few that served him still, my brother and sister. And went back 100, another 100, another 100. And he was showing me in Europe and the different place, families that were serving him, calling out his name. I saw people going 500 years, 600 years back that was preaching his gospel. They didn't have much. Some of them had a donkey, a mule, a Bible, a set of clothing. And some were pulling their animal. Some were on the donkey. And they were going across the country preaching the gospel. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord Jesus? They will say to people coming forward and back. Whether they will listen or not, they will share him right there with the people. And just like today, their people will not be willing to listen. And they will try to share. They will not be willing. They will continue. That will never stop them from sharing the gospel. Today will be faithful with the Lord. He was showing me his righteous one, his chosen one, my brother and sister. And from generation to generation, he was going back 100 years and more, showing me back and back and back and back. It was like going forward in the spirit. But it was actually going back in years and showing me how his people, no matter what they went through, even though they were going to be killed by the Romans, by the different nation, the different king, he always had people serving him. They had a Bible. They had a book. They had the gospel. They shared the word. And even though next day they were going to be killed, next month or next year, that did not stop them. They fear him. They walked. They were full of the Spirit of God. And they share his gospel with love and commitment to God. What was happening among them, it didn't matter. What the Romans were doing to people, it didn't matter. They fear God. And he's calling us to walk under his fear. It doesn't matter what's happening with our government, with the world, with Russia, with China. We fear God. No matter what they're doing, that's not to hold us back or stop us from serving him. Nation comes, nation goes, but the kingdom of God remains forever and ever, my brother and sister. God is still the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul says to the churches, nothing changes in heaven. The blessing of God is there. The blessings of the Lord are for him, the righteous. They lack nothing in heaven. They have abundance always. The earth in heaven produces always. The water is always clean. The air is always clean. Not a devil or demon can enter the place. It's been like this forever. The devil has his kingdom in hell. And in hell he'll be when he's thrown into the lake of fire. He'll be thrown with everything he has. Consume and burn. That's his future. Nothing is going to change. That's why God wants us to be focused on him only. Forget about what the nations are doing. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. And that day in court, the question is, either are you guilty or not guilty? What is your plea before your judge? Guilty or not guilty when you go before the judge? What is your plea? Guilty or not guilty? And you will have an opportunity to look at your life from the moment you were born to the second you died. In that very moment, you have a clear understanding. If you serve God, if you gave your life to Jesus, if you walk with him, if you live for him, if you were repenting daily, as he told us so, if you ask him for help to keep his word, to be holy, to be righteous, if you serve him with all your heart and did not lean on your own understanding, and you will have no family there or friends to be saying for you, oh, you know, I saw her going to church. I saw her reading her Bible and praying. Unless God calls witnesses. If you're so sure that you did everything perfect, that you did everything right, that you never sinned. When God says you're guilty, then God said, all right, let me call some witnesses. These people were closer to you than they knew you here. These angels were in your life always, every day. Day and night. You slept, the angel were there. You got up in the morning, you went to work, the angel were there. Let's see what they have to say. They saw you reading my word, repenting, seeking me. Let's see. Let them testify. Hear what they have to say. Tell me when they lie. Because they're not going to lie. But tell me when you hear them lying. And they'll go word by word. The books were open, the Bible says, and they're going to open the books. And you have the right to disagree. My brother and sister. See, here's the thing. Nobody's perfect. So God expects us to repent every day for that very reason. That's the very reason, my brother and sister, that we need to repent every day. Nobody's perfect. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from the imperfection that is sin. Sin that makes us fall. And once the blood cleanses you, every day you repent, you are holy and righteous before God. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteous. When you repent, the blood cleanses you. And right there before God, what will you be accused of if there's nothing in you to be accused of? If you have repented all your life, when you are before the judge, What are you going to be accused of? Nothing. Because even the Lord, his blood will testify. Imagine the Bible says, if the blood of Abel testify, imagine the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will testify before the court of God and say, I have cleansed her. I have cleansed him. Always. Through the repentance. And what accusation? There will be nothing. There will be no accusation. My brother and sister, you may enter, my daughter. You may enter, my son. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This is how the Lord showed it to me. Let me just share what the Lord showed me. The millennium finish. Satan, death, were thrown into the lake of fire. Now we, as in Corinthians, our works needs to go through the fire, our lives. And my brother and sister, we were all lining up. I saw people lining up as the Lord was directing me to this place where Jesus was. He was a wall of fire. I'll be the wall of fire, says the Lord. I'll be the glory within the midst. Zechariah 2:5. I saw this wall of fire. And we have to cross that fire into eternity from the millennium. And I was standing watching people crossing the fire. This is how our work will be tested. All of a sudden, they have so much on them. But when they cross to the other side, they have nothing barely. Nothing. My brother and sister. But they were purified. They were cleansed. That fire, I tell you. My brother and sister. When my turn came and I was closing, there were things, I guess, that I like to have or inquire that will be in take, it will be in consumed by the fire. The one that was pure of gold of God was being made shine and more beautiful. That's whatever God gives you that you use for his glory, a gift, an example. It was beautiful. In us. But what was in our life that it was not a God? At that moment, the fire was consuming it to dust. Dust. My brother and sister. When I passed to the other side, there were things that I know I lost. And I'm like, oh, no. I really like to have that, but the fire consumed it. And the Lord was standing there on my right. My brother and sister. And looked at me, you may enter. My servant, my son, you may enter. You have to go through the fire of the Lord. The Lord was the fire, I knew. Then the person of Jesus was right there. At my right, across the wall of fire. But I knew this, going through the fire, that anything that was not of God, I mean, in the little leaven, Proverbs says, damage everything. A little leaven of sin or anything, whatever it is, consume, burn. You could not make it through. What did Jesus say? Be thou holy, because I am holy, he says. Our spiritual state in God through Christ needs to be like him. Cannot be any different. Let the servant be like the master, he says. It cannot be any different, our life. Jesus committed himself to God and to thy hand, Father. I give my spirit. He trusted God even with his own life. Are you trusting the Lord with your life? Or you're trying to save it? But what is that you're trying to do? Him that will save his life will lose it. But him that will lose his life for my sake, for saving. Give your life to Jesus and let his will be done. There are things in our lives that we don't see it or smell, or smell it, that are pride. My brother and sister, pride. Pride. Hallelujah. Even if you want the rapture to happen right now, you got to be careful, because that could be pride. Because how is it that you want to save yourself and let everybody else go to hell? How is that? That was never in the mind of Christ. Be ye of the mind of Christ, the Bible says. That was never in his mind. He came to save, not to condemn. Humility. My brother and sister, we have a lot to learn from him. We read the word. Lord, reveal me your word. Help me to know and understand what you're saying, Lord. My brother and sister, a lot of people said, some people want a free ride to heaven. My brother and sister, a free ride. A free ride. Salvation is free, yes, but it cost Jesus his life. So it's free for us because he paid the price. But now that you are saved through faith, it's not of yourself, but it's a gift of God, saved by grace. Now we have to walk, my brother and sister, like Christ walked when he was on the earth, and obedient, committed to the will of the Father. Every day, he sought to do the will of the Father. He committed to the Father every day. His life, his doing. Never saw his own will. Never saw his own will. Never sought to look to do his own will. Jesus in Gethsemane, in the moment that anyone will tell you was a harder moment, because if in the moment where they were going to come in the morning, in the middle of the night, arrest him, take him into prison, beat him to come and see the high priest, and was slapped there, and then to be brought before the king, and then to be crucified. And in that whole process was pain, pain, plus my brother and sister. Six time pain. 666 pain. There. Because it was all evil. It was pure injustice. Sex. Pure injustice. Hallelujah. Unlawful. Unlawful. What they did. It was against the law of Moses. Given to him by the Lord himself. In the mountain. My brother and sister. They were breaking his own commandment. Crucifying him. Because in order for you to crucify someone, you have to have law foundation. According to the law of Moses, they have to have witnesses and true witnesses. Not the witnesses that they paid off. They paid off those men to lie. And to say that they saw him speaking against the law of Moses. Lie! They lied. The same people that were judging him with the same people that paid off the man to lie, the witness to lie against him in order to be able to crucify him. My brother and sister, it was with lie that they crucified him. They found him guilty of breaking the law of Moses. My brother and sister, and as they brought him in the open, they beat him. Unlawful. When they put the cross on his back, they beat him. Unlawful. So against the law of Moses. My brother and sister, then why was he so willing to carry the cross? Because it meant freedom. His punishment, his suffering, meant freedom for whoever believeth in him. My brother and sister, whoever receive him, I said, oh, Savior, they will be free to serve him in the spirit. Not necessarily in the flesh. A lot of people confuse this. There's a confusion. Because there were Christians that the Roman had in jail all their life until they died. But they were freed in the spirit, but their body were under great suffering. In chains on the hand and on the leg. And eating food from the floor like animals, like dogs. My brother and sister. But they served the Lord until the moment they die in those prisons. Faithfully. They repented. Yes, there were moments they cry, but most of the time they praise God in those conditions. They praise him. They thank him for the salvation of Jesus on the cross. They were thankful, worshiping like Paul and Peter when they got arrested in the book of Acts. They were praising the Lord in prison and thanking him for being part of the suffering of Jesus. That's how a lot of these people serve the Lord. My brother and sister, a lot of people think that the freedom God gives us in the spirit, it also applies in the flesh where the government has to serve God. Everyone around that has to serve God. The town, everything has to be Christian. They got it wrong. They got it wrong, my brother and sister. No. Our president, our government, our nation don't need to serve God in order for us to serve God and be free in the Lord. We can serve God in FEMA camps and praise the Lord arrested in jail. My brother and sister, because our God is in our life, it's in the spirit. Don't fear them that can kill the flesh, the body, but him that can kill the soul in hell, which is only God. A lot of people are fearing those that can kill the flesh. And they think that our government should be Christian and everybody else. That only can happen when Messiah returns again and makes the earth new and make all the government and all the law and all the police and all the Christians, because he will be here supervising them. My brother and sister, it's the only way. Hallelujah. He's going to make the earth new. He's going to make everything new because he said his word. I'm here. I make all things new, he said, after the resurrection. Everything he's going to make new. But in this old that you and I are in, don't expect everyone around you to serve God and be praising God and speaking great things of God. No, you have a lot of religious people around you, my brother and sister. That's what you got. It's only going to get worse, yes, until he returns, my brother and sister. And actually, what everything around us is showing us, the fulfillment of his word, and it's showing that he's about to return. This is it, my brother and sister. Our nation that you see are going to be destroyed completely. Actually, if the rapture happens tonight, next days, you're going to see locked up demons, locked up Nephilim for thousands of years being released out of the pit, coming onto the earth, showing themselves upon humanity, revealing themselves upon humanity, and beginning to form like an army, form their own groups. I've been in the millennium and I've seen them. They have formed their own groups across the world, across the nation. Their own army. That's why Daniel 11, still a lot of Christians have not understand it yet. My brother and sister, they have not. Hallelujah. Look, here is Jeremiah 30. Hallelujah. Verse 5, for thou saith the Lord, we heard voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. This is the earth during the great tribulation. As ye know, see whether a man does travail with a child. Why do I see every man with his hand on his loin, a woman in travail, all faces turn into paleness? This is nuclear weapons. Alas, for that day is gray, so none is like it. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24, like it never was before, like never be again. Alas, for the day is gray,
So none is like it, even in the time of Jacob's trouble, for he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from his neck, I will burst for thy bond, and strangers shall no more be served by him. For they shall serve the Lord God of David, their king, whom I will raise unto them. This is a great promise. I remember the Brother Larry asking God about this. Are you going to raise David again? And so I was preaching this on the Lord Tower. Brother Larry heard it, I remember, and he asked God. And he said, yes, I will raise him again, as my word said. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, thy seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob, hallelujah, shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet as the millennium. And none shall make him afraid. For 1,000 years, my brother and sister, Jacob is going to be in peace. No one will make him afraid anymore. No one. But from here to there, which the great tribulation is going to happen fast, because the days are being shortened. I'm going to remind you of something. The other day, a few weeks ago, I was taken to heaven. I was outside Father's throne. Fear to enter. I didn't want to enter. But I knew the Lord wanted me to. But I didn't want it to. But we must be obedient. He wanted me to enter. I said, took a step through the door into the throne of the Lord, rear part of the throne, I would say. Hallelujah. I heard Jesus talking to Father. And I heard Jesus say to Father, Father, he says to God, when will these things be? Expecting this to happen. But when would they be? It's the same question a lot of people down here are asking. When is the rapture? Brother Elby, are you sure this is about to happen? Yes, I am sure. But the Lord says to Father, when? And as I heard Jesus speaking, it took me a bit because his word are alive when he speaks. And the judge father was saying to him, as I said through my prophet, he says to Jesus, remember Matthew 24, no one knows the day or the hour, neither the angel, neither the son, but only the Father, God. So I enter, I didn't want to enter, I went through the passage, through the hallway, short, not too long, and right inside there was like a court. The judge was in the seat, Father, and Jesus was before the court like a lawyer. I entered the room. I took a step in it. I didn't dare to go away all the way where Jesus and Father was. I didn't feel worthy to step in there, although he wanted me to, and I took a step into the room. Now I'm looking at Jesus. He looked at me. I bowed my head to him. My brother and sister. And Father was on my right. Jesus was right in front of me. And Father the judge was on my right. He's so holy and righteous. He dwell behind holy, holy, holy. And that holiness is very difficult to see him. Very difficult. You're going to learn this when you go to heaven. When you go visit Father in the third heaven, third level. That place is so holy that their house is made of one single diamond, large and big, and the beauty is unimaginable because these diamonds are beyond beauty. They shine beautiful, and they're different colors, too, my brother and sister. And I knew Father was there because I can hear his voice. And I kind of see the form of his spirit. And he says to the Lord, what I have said through my prophet, and he was including me. I never call myself a prophet. I don't like to. My brother and sister. Unless he says so, I don't call myself a prophet. And he says, as I said to my prophet, the last day prophet, I had chosen them. And he was pointing that I was one of them. What I said, what he has said, what I have spoken through him is how it's going to be. At that very moment when Father said this to Jesus, I began to think about all my message here on the Lord Yahweh, everything God has given me to share. At that very moment, I wanted to, like, come back to the earth and sit here and download all my audio from the Lord Yahweh and begin to go through all of them. So I can remember everything Father has said to me, because he has given me word, he has shared me things, revelation, and I have just given them out. Sometimes I'm in my computer here, and I open one of my messages, one of my older messages 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I sit here and I listen, and it's like God began to speak to me again, because he gave me the word, I put out the word, word that I probably should have been meditating even longer, but since he's given it to me to give it, I don't want to forget anything he says. So I come here, I sit in front of the mic, in front of the computer, and I put out what he says to me. Oh, the revelation, the dream, the vision, I just put it out. So I have to come back and sit and listen to it again and remember what he's saying. He told Jesus that what he has said through us, his prophet, is how it's going to happen. And the Lord says to Father, but they're speaking that the rapture is about to happen. And Father says back, exactly, exactly. So when someone asks me, why are you saying that the time is over, is about to happen? That's what I heard Father and Jesus say. I'm repeating to you what God says to me. Father and the Lord both spoke these words to me. It's over for you. It's over. And the Lord and the Father both said the same word together to me. And that's the word I repeated back to you when I came from that place, my brother and sister. It's over. You heard me saying some of the message and repeat it. It's over. God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man he will repent. And Jesus was asking Father about these words. And he said, yes. As I have spoken through them. And he was not just speaking about me. He was speaking about his other, because he has other servants that are obedient, that are speaking out his word. Like Sister Barbara, an example. Brother Flower. He has people that he's speaking through them and giving out the word from Father, from the throne. And we're just giving out the word. Brother Dan, keep them in prayer. Brother Fly and his wife in Maine, they believe they have the virus. I believe they don't have it, but we're praying for them. Let's keep praying. They don't have it. They don't have it. They don't have COVID-19. That's a lie. They don't have it. Because by his stripe, by his wound, they were healed. Now they're going to be healed. They were healed 2,000 years ago. So how can you have it? That's impossible. God is not a man that he will lie. There's a son of man. I understand that word. How can I say I have something when I was healed 2,000 years ago? That's impossible. Proclaim his promise upon your body, upon yourself. Okay? The devil, you begin to confess a sickness, the symptom, the demon will bring you the symptom right away. And you get this pain here and there. Those are the symptoms of something he wants to bring unto you that you don't have. You confess you have something, demons are celebrating, throwing up a party. Oh, he said he has it. Let's bring it to him. You don't have it. You don't have it. God is not a man that he will lie. How can you have it when he said that by his stripe, by his wound, ye are healed? He's not talking about presence or future. I'm going to have to go to the Bible and read it. Isaiah 53, and I'm going to read it because I love it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But he was wounded for our transgression, Isaiah 53:5. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripe, we are healed. It has to tell you that you were healed. Because this happened 2,000 years ago. When were you healed? 2,000 years ago. That's when you were healed. Because he took your infirmity, your sickness, on the cross. So you were healed 2,000 years ago. So, Brother Elby, why do we get this headache, this pain? Well, you have to be tested, don't you? Don't you have to be don't your faith, which is more precious than gold, has to be tested? So if God allow a pain on your leg, a pain on your back, a pain on your head, why is he allowing it for? To test your faith. So what do you do? When God is testing you, are you going to fail your test? Are you going to say, oh, this hurt too much, I can't take this? No. You go back to God and you say, God, you said that by Jesus' stripe, by Jesus' womb, I am healed. Lord, bring this word to pass in my life at this moment. Take this sickness. Take this pain. Remove it, Lord. Because you said I'm healed, Lord. You said I'm healed. I cannot be sick if you say I'm healed. 2,000 years ago on that cross, he took it, Lord. I receive it. Power of the Lord going through my body. Any pain is being removed. I thank you, Jesus. 2,000 years ago, I am healed. You are healed. Has been taken to the cross. It has been crucified. It has been crucified. It's dead. It's no more. It's no more. Your pain, your hallelujah, your sickness has been crucified. It's dead. Don't, hallelujah, don't bring the dead back. Let it be dead. Let it stay dead. Let it be buried. Don't uncover it anymore. I am healed, Jesus. By your stripe, Lord, by your wound, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm sorry for doubting. I'm sorry for my unbelief, Lord, my weakness. Help me, Jesus, to only believe. I don't want to doubt, Lord. I don't want to waste time with doubt and unbelief. I just want to believe only. Believe only, Lord. You made the promise. It is done. It is fulfilled. Jesus, I receive it. I receive it. I raise my hand over the sick listening. I bind those sicknesses. I bind those pain. I command them to go, 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 go. In Jesus' name, go, go. Sickness, you go. Pain, you go. Go, virus, you go. In Jesus' name. By the stripe of Jesus, by the wound of Jesus, it's been crucified on the cross. I claim total healing, complete healing for the body, soul, and spirit right now in Jesus' name. I receive it. I receive it. Say, I receive it. I receive it, Lord. I receive what you did on the cross for me. You heal me on the cross, Jesus. Jesus. Claim it. Declare it. Confess it. Believe it. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I said, Lord, you've given me hallelujah, the gift of healing. The gift of miracle, Lord, and you use me powerfully through it. Where is it, Lord? He said, it is in you. He says, it is in you. I raise my hand over any sickness, and I bind it, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. Go. 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 Oh, it's going. It's going. It's going. It's going. It's going. Receive it. That pain, I bind that demon, that spirit to go. I command that pain to go right now in Jesus' name by the stripe, by the wound of Jesus, go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, pain in the leg, hallelujah. I've been feeling that. I bind that demon. I bind that spirit. And I command it to go out of your leg right now, that pain. I command the pain to go. In Jesus' name, by the strength, by the wound of Jesus, go, 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 go. There goes. I began to talk about it, and it began to go. I was talking about it, and I began to get the witness in my leg that someone was having this pain. I thank you, Jesus. This was not planned. This was not in my agenda. I thank you, Jesus. Miracle across the country in Germany. Receive it in Jesus' name by the stripe of Jesus. I command the pain in your head right now. I command that pain to go. I bind the spirit of sickness right now over your head right now. I command it to go. In Jesus' name, go, go, go. Go. There it goes. Go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. The power belongs to Jesus. The power belongs to the Lord. We're only servants of the Lord. He is the God that healeth thee. He sends his word and heal them all. Receive it in Jesus' name. Praise to Jesus. Yes, healing of the mind. Heal the mind. Heal the mind. I bind that demon of the mind. And I command it to go to the lower part of hell. Go. Go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. They'll be broken. They'll be broken. Break the chains in Jesus' name to go right now in Jesus' name. There you go. Clear the mind, Lord. Clear the mind, Jesus. Clear the mind. Clear the mind. Clear the mind. Lord, straighten the faith of your people to believe only. Believe only. I come against the spirit of doubt, the spirit of unbelief. I command it to go. I bind the demon of unbelief and doubt to go. 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 Go in Jesus' name from north to south, east to west. Up and down in Jesus' name, go. Command that demon of unbelief to go. I command that demon, hallelujah, down. You go in Jesus' name. Go to the lower part of hell. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Yes, fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill those that are asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of salvation, fill them. Fill them, Lord. Fill them, Lord. Pour your spirit upon the flesh. Pour your spirit upon those that are asking to be filled right now from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. Hallelujah. Raise them like the eagle. Give them strength like the buffalo in Jesus' name. Jesus' name right now. Receive strength of the Lord. Receive renewing of the Lord. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name right now, it's in your spirit, it's happening in your spirit, it's happening in your life, your flesh is coming, according to the word, to good health in Jesus' name, let your flesh be healed, and let your spirit be lifted, and strength like the eagle, in Jesus' name, receive it, receive it, receive it, thank you, Lord, renew his strength, Lord, renew her strength in Jesus' name. Right now, Lord Jesus, I command that spirit of tiredness to go. Hallelujah, fatigue. I bind the spirit of fatigue to go. Spirit of fatigue, I bind you to go. Go in Jesus' name. Go, go. There you are. Thank you, Jesus. Praise some. Praise some. Dance for him. Don't worry about it. Dance for him. We are freeing him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. He's an awesome God. Lord, give strength to my sister, my brother, that feels so weak, Lord, in the last day. Strengthen their faith. Strengthen their faith, their spirit. In Jesus' name, give them strength. Like the eagle, send them on high. Send them on high, Jesus, like the eagle. Give them strength like the buffalo. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray. For you, for your strength. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Renew. Renew the strength, Lord Jesus. Some of you are going to sleep like, hallelujah, like a feather. So light, so light, so much of being lift from you. In Jesus' name. The power of the Lord is going through your body, and he's removing things that are not of God. Thank you, Lord. Demon of sickness has been left your body. I bind this demon of sickness to go. in Jesus' name. Renew them. Give them good health by your stripe, by your wound to heal, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As the Lord helped me speak, hallelujah, I'm getting witness of people being set free. Set free. Just set free. The power of God's going through them. They're being set free. They're being healed in Jesus' name. This was not planned. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. What an awesome God we serve. What a good God we serve, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You have no COVID-19 virus. No. I bind that demon, that spirit of COVID-19 virus. I rebuke it out of your life right now in Jesus' name. By the stripe of Jesus. By the wound of Jesus. They were crucified on the cross. I claim the crucifixion of Jesus over their life. In Jesus' name. The freedom. He came to set the captive free. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free. Receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be moving in the power of God in the millennium. That's what the millennium is about. Everywhere, moving in the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. See a miracle every day. Claim it. Boom, it's done in the spot. My brother and sister, all rejoicing. We'll be dancing in his presence. And healing will be happening anywhere. And he'll have me another group preaching everywhere else in the millennium. We'll preach the word of the Lord. It's going to flow as the water cover the sea. The knowledge of the Lord. It will be all about him. All about him. Our time here is over. I'm preaching my last message. One of these days, I cannot preach tomorrow, the Lord showed me. I will want to come here on the microphone and preach to you. And God will not allow me. Okay? Why? Because the church is going home. That is why. He showed me that day is approaching. He says, I told you to tell them to repent and be unrepentant daily. If they did not do so, the Lord says to me, that will be it. That will be it. That will be it. There's nothing you can do for them, he says, anymore. That's it. You did what I commanded you to, he says to me. Spoken to me in out of a voice right there next to me. Yes, Lord. I wanted to feel sad for thinking I won't be able to help them anymore. But that was it. Time is over. It's coming to a conclusion. We're doing the last. My brother and sister, the last. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What's happening with Israel in the last days, all that will begin to unfold. But a lot of it we're not going to see. The bride of Christ is not going to see. The bride of Christ is going to disappear. My brother and sister, I was taken to that class in heaven again, and I saw the Redeemer in the Lord. I understand by the Lord turning into Naphtali and Bennett that the time of Israel, as it says in Jeremiah 30 that I was just reading to you, Jeremiah 30, the time of Israel is about to begin. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 11. But when the fullness of the Gentile comes in, my brother and sister, it will be over. That means the bride disappear. Then God begins with Israel. And then all Israel shall be safe. Out of Zion will come the Savior. My brother and sister, this is what's happening now. All these events will be unfolding. Seeing the Lord as Naphtali Bene means that this is the season when God is about to begin with Israel. I heard it in my dream. I heard it last night in my dream. The time for Israel is beginning. Because he had me preach about Israel now. For 2-3 Bible studies now has been about Israel. Psalm 83. The time for Israel is beginning. My brother and sister, that means that God is doing something in Israel. And we already see in the unfolding of what the court told Netanyahu, 7 years and your party can come back. A 7-year great tribulation. For some reason, things are being established biblical right now. So much in front of us. I believe this thing with Russia and all this, This is just the beginning. A lot of people think this is going to go away. Not this time. We're living on the last of the last. My brother and sister, judgment is about to begin. There's no it about that. It's about to begin. There's an audio I downloaded about the earthquakes that's been happening around our nations, but around more California. You're going to hear what the news has to say. Then comes Sister Celestia and then Pastor Jane. You're going to hear what God is saying to his people in the last day, how things are unfolding so quickly, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me play this audio. Praise you, God. Hear how things are unfolding, how things are happening, my brother and sister, and they're happening very quickly.
Last week, several earthquakes struck off Oregon's coast, according to the U.S. Geological Survey.
Breaking overnight, a 4.4 magnitude earthquake hit off the coast of Oregon.
But really interesting stuff, especially when you get a huge swarm here just off our coastline. It's a little unnerving, isn't it?
There have been around 60 earthquakes off the coast of Oregon starting yesterday and then continuing throughout today. The biggest, a magnitude 5.8.
It's got a lot of us wondering what is going on. So we'll show you where it's happening. This is along the Blanco Fault Zone, about 400 miles west of Bandon. Two of the quakes registered above a 5 magnitude.
Elizabeth, certainly the question on everyone's mind tonight, especially when you hear just how many there have been and how big some of those magnitudes are. But the short answer is no. This is not a cause for concern. The professor I talked to explained the reason for that is because it's so far off the coast, but to have so many is unusual.
They have one 5.8. That's big.
The Cascadia subduction zone is about here. This is the Blanco fracture zone out here.
Yesterday, the same area recorded about 30 earthquakes. Now, it's a surprising amount of activity to see, but local experts tell us no cause for concern. These earthquakes happened along the Blanco Fault Zone, not the Cascadia subduction zone where we might have a big one originate, so everyone breathe a sigh of relief. That's not, hopefully, an indicator of things to come.
Yeah, definitely so. I mean, we're still waiting for the big one.
What happened?
Ever since I've been working here, I have heard that it's imminent. It could happen any time.
Any day now, geologically speaking.
Of course, we're overdue for a 9.0 Cascadia subduction zone earthquake.
We don't want to talk about that.
Well, you need to.
Yeah, I know.
Keeping our eye on the environment, geologists are closely watching Oregon's South Sister Volcano for activity. South Sister is not too far from Bend. Experts noticed a subtle increase in the rate of uplift of the ground on Monday. This was detected about 3 miles west of the volcano. Geologists tell us that the uplift is caused by small pulses of magma building up roughly 4 miles below the ground surface.
Now, it's interesting because the last major volcanic eruption in Oregon was 2,000 years ago. It was right there in that area.
While they say this could eventually lead to a volcanic eruption, there would likely be more vigorous earthquakes leading up to it.
These are the Three Sisters, a complex of volcanoes in central Oregon, east of Eugene, and the sisters have a tale to tell. In this color image, the land under the mountains is swelling up, even if just a little.
It's been a very gradual onset.
Also, this isn't the first time the ground has swelled. These GPS signals show a portion of that uplift that's been ratcheting upward for some 25 years. Tobin oversees the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network at the University of Washington. Rising ground is one sign that a volcano is growing restless. Another is earthquakes, a lot of small quakes, and that is not happening. But the sisters comprise part of a long chain of volcanoes in the Northwest, and as we fly north, one has to wonder if they're all connected down below, including the biggest one, Mount Rainier.
The individual volcanoes are all part of the Cascades chain, but they are individual volcanoes. They have separate sort of plumbing systems, if you will, of potential magma and such things. So something happening down there at Sisters in Oregon does not mean Mount Rainier is going to change its activity. They're unconnected at that level.
From June of 2020 to August of last year, this area had seen some small uplift taking place. They also started noticing small, shallow earthquakes.
In October and December, And January, this past January, we had some really, really tiny earthquakes in the area. In fact, they were so tiny that they largely registered barely on one of the seismometers.
It's that kind of earthquake experts say we here in the Pacific Northwest could one day experience as well, when the Cascadia subduction zone, a 600-mile-long fault off our shore, ruptures. Experts say it's what happened some 321 years ago. And now scientists here in Oregon have a bit more proof of that.
We're just establishing more physical evidence of the earthquake and tsunami in 1700.
Bob Ziak is a research oceanographer with NOAA. He and a team of researchers analyzed core samples of old-growth trees about a mile inland of Newport. They discovered something big had happened to those trees back in 1700.
What we do is we measure the growth rings of the trees, and it showed that the growth was really subdued or non-existent during that year.
The salt water from a massive tsunami, the result of a magnitude 9 earthquake, halted the tree's growth. The researchers now believe the water had traveled more than a mile onshore.
This evidence in the tree ring is one of the first in Oregon that's been documented associated with the 1700 earthquake. And it's useful just because it shows how far inland the tsunami can have an impact.
This new and updated tsunami model shows the area could have been inundated by up to 10 meters of water in the 1700 tsunami event.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers, you are very welcome. I am continuing in the Lord's Supernatural series. Please remember that the Master's Voice Prophecy Blog YouTube channel is a support resource for the mastersvoice.com blog. On the blog is where you can find these written messages. I strongly encourage everyone who gets these videos, even if it is your first video, to build a habit of going to the blog so that you can see the Lord's written messages. And the reason for that is that as you listen, you are only getting what is called context and nuance. So you're hearing these prophetic messages delivered in a format that the Lord intends to be easier to share and easier for awareness. But if you are someone who is intent on understanding the Lord's heart for the coming time period, which is going to affect every man, woman, child, and in fact, the whole creation in the final days of days, this is this time period going forward all the way unto the end that is prophesied and taught to us in the book of Revelation, then it is necessary that you understand that you will have to do some work. You are not going to get the full understanding of what God wants you to understand to deepen your faith and to deepen your relationship and walk with Him personally by watching these videos, or I venture to say anyone else's videos. So the blog is important, and almost every single video, if you look in the description box beneath the video, you will find the written prophecy where you can go and read. When you read, you will have very many less questions because the written word will answer for you many of the things that you might be tempted to ask about. So today, this is from a very long prophecy series on the Master's Voice. I think it came up to 8 parts, and it is called Desolations Are Determined. When the Lord says desolations are determined, He is simply saying that from now until the time where He will come to judge all things, desolations, which means terrible, painful, dangerous, and destructive things, are determined. They are going to happen. The things I'm talking about on TMV are not conjecture. They are not things that have come from my own imagination or things that I just thought this might be interesting to put on the internet. The Lord has sent me to tell people, saved and unsaved, that destructive and terrible things are going to come to this world, whether we want them to or not, whether we think it's fair or not, whether we're afraid or not, whether we're prepared for it or not, or whether we even know about these things or not. Desolations Are Determined, Part 6, and the title of this one is Strange Fire. I received this in June 30, 2019. The banner scripture is this: Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 24 and verse 30. Now, I think this is, yes, this is part of, this is the second part of speaking about the coming of strange beings, including aliens, including fallen angels, masquerading either as other creatures or masquerading as or revealing themselves as themselves. And that is Desolations Part 5. That is already a video, so this is the second part. And I was at church back then, and we had just finished service, and I went into the backyard of where we used to have services, and I was just basking in the presence of the Lord and marveling at how amazing He is. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, "Fire in the sky, fire in the sky." And I instinctively looked up, and then I said, "Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord? What kind of fire? Are you talking about the weapons that I saw exploding over New York City? Is it missiles?" Because I had had an open eye vision very early in the morning. I heard someone yell in my room, "Arrows." And when I opened my eyes, I wasn't in my room. I was in an alleyway, I was just in the middle of New York City. And as I was watching, the sky was filled with approaching missiles. And so I was asking the Lord, "Is it missiles?" And He said to me, and I will read, so please listen carefully. "This is not man-made. What I speak of is strange fire and profane. Profane means cursed or filthy." He said, "The skies will be painted a strong red color like wine, and there will be other colors as well, golds and purples and blues. When you see these colors appearing on the cloud, then look to yourselves," which means watch yourselves very carefully, "because the devil is about to come down to you and dwell among the sons of men. Strange beings, profane and rejected sons that will have the appearance of man, but they are not. Unclean ones that have been put forever out of the presence of God will now be coming down in appearance as angels of light, to deceive mankind and take a terrible toll of revenge upon them. Satan has hated man since his creation. In the day that I made man as my creation, vengeance was kindled in the cherub's heart. He rages against my love for my creation. He crept up after them to steal their robe of favor from them and leave them stripped as Joseph." Now, we know the story of Joseph in the Bible and how his brothers hated him. To be fair, Joseph's brothers didn't really hate him without good cause. He was the favored child of his father, and the father should not have done what he did, which was to distinguish Joseph with a robe that made it clear that Joseph was preferred by his father from the others. But that robe of favor God is saying here is something that He put on mankind, which is why I always say that part of the reason that many people will die, and I'm not speaking curses, so those who don't have understanding, spare me your views, please. When I'm saying these things, I'm saying these things in the authority of the Lord, and I'm speaking these things from the revelations that the Lord has given me. Many people will die with the coming of aliens and fallen angels. And the reason for this is because they have a hatred for the Lord God, and they have a love for things that God hates. So zombies and vampires and witches and Halloween and the occult and what is satanic and what is cursed, such as angels that have rebelled against God, but are now revealing themselves little by little, bit by bit, as aliens and the offspring of whatever they have created, revealing themselves to man little by little in preparation for a very grand reveal. There is a huge, and when I say huge, I am talking about hundreds of millions of people out there who are not content to be human beings. It's not enough for them to be humanity. They want to be something more. They want to hear the narrative that is telling them that they are angelic beings that are trapped in this flesh body, having a flesh experience. They want to believe that they are from the Sirius Dog Star. They want to believe that the strange seeds that have been planted in their minds through a combination of what they consume online, a combination of what they have been reading for years, and then the loud mass media storyline, such as "they are among us" and "could there be more?" These things have led the human heart to become very lifted up, very, very arrogant and prideful against God. People no longer want to be people. They want to be anything else that is attached to more power that has an undying nature. They don't want to be Adam and Eve. They don't want to be dust that God loves. They are searching for ways to exalt themselves. And it is for this reason that God will allow Satan and all these fallen creatures to destroy humanity greatly. So take heed to these words when you hear me and see me taking my time to come on this channel and speak out what God has said. There will be mass death on this planet. I am telling you based on what the Lord has revealed. I saw into a time when Isaiah 13 had fulfilled itself. There is a verse in Isaiah 13 that says, a man shall be more rare than the gold of Ophir. Bluntly put, it means that to find a living, breathing human being will be harder than it was in the ancient times to find that precious and specific rare gold that the region of Ophir was known for. People will be taken away and consumed. And I'm not talking about sucked into a vortex and taken to another dimension. They will be killed. These creatures and their ships, especially the alien ones, will eat people to the point that afterwards, God showed me their bloody bodies. The ships had the power to suck and take tissue and flesh and blood and bone and pulp it into such a manner that when I saw people afterwards, they had been killed inside their clothing and rolled up into these big bloody balls. And just think about how impossible it is for us who have sharp angles and bones to be crushed and pulped until we can just be rolled up into a bloody dead meatball. I saw these bloody dead meatballs all over the surface of the earth. I was still alive at that time, and the Lord showed me this is what it will be like. This is the reward of those who hate truth and love deception. This is why 2 Thessalonians 2:9 up to about verse 11 says that when Satan appears, he will appear with mass deceptions, moving with extreme power and all lying signs and wonders. So when the Lord says that angelic beings will be coming down on the back of these beautiful sunsets and beautiful, amazing, bloody dawns, red dawns that we're starting to see just here and there. They are not prolific yet. The Lord absolutely knows what he is talking about. He knows the true children of God who will listen to his warnings, and he knows the ones who will be drawn to Satan's many manifestations of power and be destroyed. He said that the rejected sons, for the angels are sons of God. Read your Bible. Genesis chapter 6 explains it, and Enoch chapter 7 unto 16 gives you everything else that you need for context, understanding, warning, and wisdom. They are the sons of God, and they have the ability to appear as man. He said rejected sons that have the appearance of a man, but they are not. Unclean ones that have been put out of my presence forever will now come down to you, showing angelic glory. So some of them will come looking like men, but some of them will come so bright. They will come so shining. And you know human beings, anything that is novel, anything that is different, anything that is ethereal, meaning that it is not of this earth but seems to appear from another dimension, we love it. We automatically, even in the church, people think that the appearance of any bright and shining being is automatically from God. It has to be God because God has the angels. Let me tell you something. There is a whole section of angels out there in the wild, wild west doing their own thing. They do not have any God. They serve no master. They are lords of themselves, and they are sitting in the second heaven having meetings about what will happen to flesh on this earth. The Lord Jesus is listening to all of it, and he knows who will make it and who won't. And so the choice is with us. The Lord says, man is my child and my own beloved, but the devil hates humanity, and his only wish is to be among them, savaging them like a lion savages a trainer when he becomes trapped in his cage. This strange fire announces the time of great weeping and sorrow, for the angels of light will descend out of the clouds and come and live with you. They will present themselves as bearers of peace, light, and understanding. But these fallen reptiles and other beings will persuade all who listen to them that they are good, that they are friends of humanity. But I tell you again, look to yourselves. Look. Pay attention. See. And urgently take heed among yourselves, because they are only coming with one intent, to pluck life from your spirit, to steal life from your blood, and indeed, to press your flesh until you, mankind, are extinguished like thin and weak candles. Perilous times are coming. I say again, perilous times are coming. And so the Lord is here revealing things that I really did not know at the time he was showing me. I did not know that there are fallen beings that appear as reptiles that come looking like lizards and snakes. I've shared on the Master's Voice, there was a dream. I think it's concerning transhumanism. So if you look up that word, you might find this dream where God showed me that there are so many people living among us on this earth, but especially here in the United States, who are descended from a reptile family, a reptile background. I have seen, and God has shown me, that there are people who have scales underneath their skin. So they have scales just beneath the outward appearance of skin. And what happens is if these people get extremely hot, for instance, if these people are in a very hot and humid environment, which snakes don't really like, or if they are upset, if these people become visibly upset, visibly angry, or just uncomfortable in the vessel in any way, the Lord showed me that these scales have a tendency to rise to the surface. So you might find in the future doctors showing up and telling you, oh, this is a new and rare form of eczema. It absolutely is not. The Lord has shown me that there are people who have webbing between their fingers. The Lord has shown me that there are people who have extra digits, an extra finger, an extra toe, which is just a throwback, not to any disease that they are telling you, but to the fact that long ago the fallen mixed with people and they gave birth to giants, 3,000 elves. Women brought forth these giants who progressively decreased in height as the mixing was happening. And I've shared that if an apple and an orange keep mixing and one of them is stronger, eventually the traits of the other will go away until you only find a few Hail Marys to the lesser genetic trait. And so because humans kept intermingling with Nephilim, the Nephilim began to lose their size. But in these modern days, because Satan has greatly upped his game, the Nephilim do not look like Nephilim. They look, some of them, perfectly like people. There will come pure Nephilim that are still 20 and 30 and 50 feet high, but there are Nephilim that have been engineered hybrid beings that look just like people. There are so many different forms, and I speak only out of the revelations that God has given me. So I do not have answers to some of the questions that people ask, which is why I always say, when you read the words of the Lord, they are what they are. I do not go above and beyond the Lord's commission to add my own views or to add anything. I speak what I am shown. Some people have reptile throwback. They have webbing between their fingers and their toes. Some of it, the Lord says, will not be high. So you will not see a very high wall of flesh like Aquaman or whatever. It will just be something that is a little bit higher than what we naturally are given as our finger divisions. I also saw that these people are fantastic as swimming. They swim the way orca the whale and dolphins would swim. They absolutely love water, and they are, please excuse me, they are fantastic in water. And they have scales beneath the skin, and they also sometimes will be snakes. They look like crocodiles, I have seen. They look like these ones come with a very hard and prickly back, but all of this is inside the flesh. All of this is kept inside the flesh. When they are ready to manifest, this flesh just kind of morphs off them, and that other form will come out as bold as you please. So some of them have a snake form. I think in Indian mythology, they have something called Navi or Nabi. They have this in their history, stories of very wise and old people that they used to seek almost as shamans. And the upper part will be a person, and the bottom part will be a serpent. There are people like that descended among us today. And God says that when the strange fire begins to appear in the heavens more and more often, it will be signaling a time of great weeping and sorrow that is coming, because these creatures will come to earth and live with us. This is not a joke. This is not a suggestion. When the fallen ones of all of them manifest themselves, as you will hear in dreams to come, the governments of the world, I don't know what world governments will do, but I know that this one will pretend that they did not know, but then say, oh, we should be very accommodating and welcoming to the visitors, to the newcomers, and people will live with these beings here. The Lord gave me such a troubling dream of a cultural night where the United States of America was having a program featuring these creatures showing their talents mixed with people. And when I found myself in that audience, that was one of the days that I truly regretted sleeping in. So God says that they are coming to be among us to suck life from the human spirit, to steal life from the blood. This is basically emptying human beings like a straw. If you think that these creatures are coming here to eat burgers and steak, may you correct your understanding. Perilous times is what God calls this. And so he continued speaking to me in that backyard, and he said, at the appearance of this strange fire, learn to stay in your homes. Learn to limit the time that you are spending outdoors in the natural wildlife areas and parks. So to those who like hiking and just go off for days and stuff out there, the Wendigo and the Wolfman and other things like that are not what you are going to find out there one day. And the funny thing about this day is you never know when it is coming. The Lord says it will be a signal. When you see the sky like this, leave the places that you are and go to your homes, or go to the nearest safe place that you can be until you can get home. These clouds will appear like fire, and they will be mixed with cerulean, which is a very beautiful sort of blue. These clouds are strange shaped, and they will be sometimes like a bowl or sometimes like a stack. This is evidence of the fallen ones hiding themselves. These creatures are sensitive, please excuse me, to the smallest, tiniest stimulus. They can hear and see over incredible distances. They can track better than any hunting dog. They can see in the dark. Those who go picnicking or keep spending time in the wild, you will be hunted like prey and consumed. Flesh will be eaten by these beings. They are corrupted, fallen, utterly reprobate, and their only intention is to snuff out life from this planet before the time that I come. Just a moment, please. The Bible says in Genesis 1:14, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and to mark days and years. Another version, the Berean Study Bible says, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to distinguish between the day and the night, and let them be signs to mark the seasons and days and years. And so we see that the Lord made the lesser light, which is the moon and the stars, and he made the greater light, which is the sun, and he made them to mark the times and the seasons. So in the days when the earth was young, when the earth was a young being or a young experience, the sun and the moon were there to tell you that it is dawn, it is mid-morning, it is noon, it is afternoon, it is late evening, and now it is night. And the moon and the sun did their work, and the luminaries, which are the stars, were used to mark the times and the seasons and the equinoxes and things like that. But now that we are at the ends of times, excuse me, please. Now that we are at the ends of times, now that we are at the final rolling up and ending of everything, you find that the sun and the moon are now being used to mark more than just day and night, afternoon and dawn. They're being used to mark prophetic times and seasons. They are being used to mark important events that are rolling through to show humanity where humanity is on the Lord's prophetic clock. So because of this, God wants us to be mindful when we see new and different phenomena taking place. I spoke in a recent video about the fact that the Lord said that all the 10 plagues of the Exodus will come back. We will see bloody water across the earth as a judgment for sin. We will see pestilences. We will see those plagues that Moses walked in, and one of them will be darkness. So the Lord has said to me in some of the messages that the darkness will be exactly as it was in the book of Exodus, and that was darkness for 3 days. But also he has said to me that darkness will blanket the earth, a darkness that will be so heavy and so thick that people will not be able to see their hand in front of their faces. And the Lord showed me that in those times, because human beings are very hard of hearing, human beings always, truly, listen to this, many people always believe that there will be an exception when they have a need. So the Lord will give a blanket instruction. If you see in the Bible, the Lord will say, sanctify yourselves, wash your clothes, stay away from your wives for 3 days, because in 3 days I will be among you. Every single person in the community of Israel who knows that God is a loving Father, but also a consuming fire, would immediately follow to the letter and to the T what Moses or Joshua or whoever else told them. But you will see along the stories in the Old Testament that there are always people who are, unfortunately, in these final times, the majority of people. These people believe that when God speaks, God is not referring to them and their family. So when God says, for instance, that the harm that causes harm kills, then these people will say, what about Christians? As if Christians are made from another type of flesh and blood that cannot be affected by evil that goes into flesh and blood veins. So they hear that God says that if you take the harm, it will cause disease, it will cause sickness, it will cause neurological damage. But then they will still ask, but what about my mother? As long as your mother falls within the subset of human, that word will apply unless there is repentance and crying out for mercy by the one who did the deed. The other person cannot cry out. The other person can only cry out for the scales of pride and hard-heartedness to fall so that the one who did the deed realizes that they are in violation of God's order and cries out for mercy. And so when God told Moses that he was going to send darkness throughout the land of Egypt, not a single person who was living within Egypt borders as an Israelite went to Moses and said, do you think that God meant us too? They listened to what God said and they stayed in their homes. And this is why the scripture says, there was light in the Israelite dwellings. Wherever people obey the laws of God, absolutely, the Lord will always release a subset of mercy in the midst of judgment. So at times he has said to me that this darkness will be for a period of days, 3 days as it was in the Exodus. And then at times he has simply told me that darkness will blanket the earth, but that there will be many people who think that the darkness does not apply to them because they have stuff to do. So they have to go out and check on their car, or they have to go out and check on their animals on the farm or something. And many will lose their lives. And the reason is that in that darkness at that time, the devil will be unleashed to do his worst. So there are things that will be coming out from caverns in the ground. There are things that will be coming down from portals in the sky, as I shared in the dream, the silver mist. I think that video was recently made. There are things that will be walking the darkness, you know. It will be the terror that walketh the darkness, the pestilence that walketh the darkness, exactly as Psalm 91 says. And if a person feels that their personal need supersedes God's instruction to stay in the home, then whatever happens is squarely upon that person. The Lord says that these beings eat flesh, that they are fallen and utterly reprobate. I will say this, and I hope it's for the last time. Please do not ask me if they can repent. Please do not ask me if God will have mercy on them. When people say these things, it shows that they are very unstudied, and it also shows that they do not have a proper grasp and understanding of God's nature. God is holy, and all who are with him, or all who hold some hope of ever being with him, which is humanity that wants to spend eternity with the Father, has to be holy as he. Nothing unclean, nothing undead, nothing filthy, rejected, or sinfully prideful as the fallen angels, Satan, and those who turn into reanimate at the end of time, or anything like that, is going to be welcomed into God's eternal kingdom. The Bible says that the streets of heaven are paved with gold. Do you really think that there are going to be werewolves and vampires lurching through those streets? This shows that there is not an adequate understanding of the personage of the Heavenly Father, and this is why the hearts of people are led to think this way. They are corrupted and reprobate, which means that they cannot be won to forgiveness. There is nothing in them that wants to abandon their current state to return to God. And if you study the words that Enoch wrote to explain where these angels were, how they fell, and how they came to be, God made it clear from those times that he will never show them mercy. Never with God means never. His word is immaculate and immovable, and it is by his word that all things are upheld in the creation. So when God says he will never, it means that he will never. And we should understand his position. We need to move from our viewpoints and line up with the Father. Pay attention, for the sky will become an alarm clock that will show forth and warn of many things. So there will be midday darkness, as it was in Exodus. There will be noontime darkness. There will be overdue darkness. This is where the darkness lingers for many days and does not lift. There will be perils in darkness. There will be terrors in darkness. There will be redness of the skies. There will be redness of the moon and other heavenly bodies. There will be the stars winking out at night. So this is where you see stars going on and off like light bulbs, so that the earth becomes uncharacteristically darker than it should be. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and also powerful weather phenomena. So as these things begin to happen, you will find that this thing that they are calling climate unrest, climate unchange, it is going to actually be powerful weather phenomena that we begin to see in this earth. Excuse me, please. And one of the things that I saw is that there will be a rise of something called sea nados. I think that's what people call them, sea nados. The Lord said to me that they were sea tornadoes. That is what he called them. And this was powerful columns of water that rolled up into the sky. They literally sucked the sea up into a funnel, and then they rushed inland and dumped all that water on the land, and they caused a lot of devastation. There will also be a lot of fires, and there will just be, I spoke of it in one of the recent videos concerning zombies, that the weather will just do what it wants. It is not going to follow seasons anymore. It's not going to be winter, spring, and then summer and fall as we know. It is going to be snowy and then bright sunshine and then rain, and sometimes all of this in the same day. Then he said, and this needs to be heard with the heart, wake up, my church, and stop sleeping. Wake up and see the devil coming down to you with great wrath, as was prophesied to you by John, my prophet. Revelation 12:12 is this scripture. Wake up and pay attention, or you will perish along with the unbeliever for not believing the things that were told to you, so that you could prepare yourselves, your homes, and your loved ones while you still had time. Wake up and pay attention to the world around you and warn others while you can. They rejected me when I was among them. So stop complaining that you will not be a watchman because you are always rejected. Is the student greater than his master? If I could be rejected and I still told them to repent, for the kingdom was at hand, why can't you? Repent, my church, and start doing the same works of evangelism, warning, and teaching about the times of the end as you once did and as you should do. Believe the words of this prophecy. You will surely see it fulfilled. That is all. Thus saith the Lord. And so this is a warning that I constantly bring on the Master's Voice. It cannot be new to anyone who has been watching these videos that the church is asleep and that the church is greatly drugged with the promises of glory and the promises of great revival and the promises of many multifarious lies that I do not have the time to go into and that I do not even know in depth because I do not listen and I do not love liars. The church has this heart of following teachers that strongly reflect the lies that are in the heart of the church. There are very few people who have separated from this end times Babylon system. The Babylonian system is a system that was greatly given over to wine and women or boys, if that was your preference, and song. So it was a system that catered greatly to the flesh and greatly to enjoyment. And the reflection of that has not escaped the modern day church today. When people are talking about repentance and holiness and walking in righteousness before the Lord and fighting the good fight of faith, and especially the constant fight that we all will face as humanity, which is fighting the fight against sin. It is a very uncomfortable situation, and many of the times, because people are convicted, they become ashamed. I shared this process that when people hear the truth of God's word, they become convicted. And when a man is convicted, he feels ashamed. And when a man feels shame, he becomes angry. And once a person becomes angry, he then feels that he has the right to refute, refuse, push off, and cast away the words of the one that caused him to become convicted in the first place. But to those who love life, and as the Bible says, and I love this phrase, if you love length of days, which means that you actually want to live a fulfilled life and live to the full number of days that God has for you, then the Lord says that such people must wake up and pay attention. People have to stop listening to false teachers and false prophets. There is a great love in the United States of America for lies, such as a great revival is coming. But I ask you, in a nation that is cutting the babies out of the womb and mailing the abortion pills direct to the door, where are you expecting revival without first a mass acceptance in the nation that this nation is reprobate? She is full of apostasy and she is extremely sinful, and people have to accept this and fall to their knees en masse as they did in Nineveh. Only when there is gross outpouring of repentance and acceptance that America has sins that should not even be mentioned in the daylight, but I am compelled to mention them because the Lord troubles my sleep with them and then sends me out to be as a trumpet, saying this nation traffics men, women, and children and young boys, that they engage in sexual practices that should not happen, that the women lie in their blood and partake of sexual activity when they are on their time of feminine cleansing, that the men lie with men and have abandoned the natural use of the woman and have no interest in being with women, have no interest in being fathers, that the women are licentious and extremely exposed and say that it is their feminist right and they should not be shamed for exposing their hidden treasures, which are actually intended only to be uncovered within the bowl of a sacred marriage between a man and a woman. Where can such a nation as this one, fallen, licentious, and very fragrant, flagrant, and open, bold with her sin before Jesus Christ, hope that the Lord will pour out glory upon a trash can and a cesspool and bring revival? How is this mass being accepted by the widespread national church in this country? Things that people fear to do in other countries happens here. And yet the church sits clapping themselves into a coma at prophetic conferences waiting for Jesus to come and rapture them. Yet the Bible says sinless, spotless, without wrinkle. That is the only way that we will enter into God's kingdom. There is deep and gross confusion globally, nowhere more reflected than here. And so when you hear someone speaking in 2022 of things that sound like they come out of a sci-fi movie, the Lord wants us to understand that it is not without cause. Sin has overflowed the boundaries internationally and nowhere more than here in the nation that God himself calls Mystery Babylon. And so as Babylon is continuing her inevitable path to Revelation chapter 17 and Revelation chapter 18, where the Lord God will see to it that she is obliterated into smoke and ash in a single hour. Let the sleeping church within her walls and let the vigilant church within her walls take heed to the fact that God says, the fallen, the demonic half beings called hybrids, the Nephilim, the non-hybrid ascended master pretenders known as fallen angels, the people who have manifested all the various genetic traits that have come down through the centuries and that now are hiding in a very vast majority of the humanity that looks human but is not, let all hear and take heed. Jesus will come and will purify, but he is not coming with clouds and rainbows, but with a whip and refiner's fire, and he will start at the very threshold in the doorway of what is known as the church. Thank you for being with me. I'm Celestial, and thank you for sowing into this ministry. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for all your thumbs ups and your likes. These are social media credits, I guess, that cause the algorithm to recommend this content. You can also recommend this content person to person by sharing this video. Please go to the blog and read these prophecies. And until I see you again, God bless you and goodbye.
Welcome to Know the Truth, a Christian faith program dedicated to bring the truth of the Bible that will save your soul, that will bring healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God Almighty, Lord, touch your people, touch their hearts to believe the word, to come to know you, to have the knowledge of the truth of who Jesus Christ is, that they might be saved. The purpose of all of this, Lord, is what you ask us to do, to bring in the lost. Lord, you said it is your will that none perish, but all come to salvation, all come to repentance, all come to the knowledge of the truth of God, who Jesus is, Lord God Almighty. It is our prayer that these people will be touched by your word and that they might be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome again. The message today is people perishing for the lack of knowledge of who God is. And I want to go back to Isaiah. At the time that Isaiah was speaking to the house of Israel, and he was talking to those who were going the wrong way, they were sinning. And we want to go to Isaiah 5, and we want to pick it up here in the 8th verse. He said, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they must be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In my ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate. People will be dying. In other words, he was talking about they going into captivity. But I want you to take this and place it upon the situation now that is happening in this world. Millions of people have died so far and left all that they have worked for, and many are going to hell because they did not have the knowledge of the truth of who God is. Had they, then they go to heaven. But they do not know who God is, the knowledge of the truth to be saved. He said, in my ears, the Lord said, of course, of the truth, many of the houses will be desolate. Even great and fear without inhabitants. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. He's saying that if desolation comes upon the world because we do not know the truth of who God is, He's going to bring judgment. Judgment that when you plant, even what you're reaping will not be able to satisfy when you even spent so much. Think about the famine that's happening throughout the world. Think about all and everything that God is doing, holding back rain from certain places, giving places more rain with floods, the hurricanes, everything else, that people may come to know who he is and understand the time is now. He said, the harp and the viol and the pipe and the wine and their feast. He said, all of these things that they were doing and celebrating will be heard no more. Think about it. Throughout the world, all of these different festivals that they were having, and God was not pleased with, where are they now? He has stopped it. He said, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. They have no knowledge. And the honorable men are famished, and the multitude dried up with thirst. And he's speaking about those that are going through the problems that we even talk about today in this world. They're famished. They're hungry. Think about how many people throughout the world, especially in the United States, are starving on the streets. People who had good jobs before, they're living on the streets. People throughout the world, they're moving for a better life and coming to the States and going to different nations in Europe because they want a better life. Because they're starving, their life has no future, as they would put it. But the future of our life is in Christ. We do not measure our success by how much we have, because our life do not consist of our possessions. Our life is how well we know the Lord and how close we are to the Lord. If we are close to the Lord, we have everything. And that is important. That's why he said, knowing me, the people perish because they do not know me. They do not understand who I am and what I represent. They have to come to know me. He said they have no knowledge. No knowledge of who I am. Therefore, he that enlarges herself and opens her mouth without measure. He said hell will open her mouth and receive all of these who do not know God. He said without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp and their rejoicing shall descend into it. Everything that they have, that they were thinking that is life, is really not life. All their celebrations and everything without knowing God. Think about the rich man Lazarus in Luke. The rich man saw Lazarus every day and never even helped him. Lazarus was a poor man, a beggar, begging at his gates every day, but he knew God. And when they both died, there was Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And there was a rich man in hell, in Hades. And he was crying out, Lazarus, take your finger and dip it in water and come and put it in my tongue, for it is torment down here. And that is what it is for not knowing God. It is a place of torment. It's hell. It is not like what you think and could ever imagine in your life, how bad and how terrible it is. It is for not knowing God, for not having the knowledge of the truth of who he is. In Isaiah 45, again, he comes up and tells us from the 20th verse, and he says, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that escape of the nations. They have no knowledge that see up the wood and their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. You're praying to something that cannot help you. You got to help it. We have to pray to a God we cannot see. Remember what and who God is. remember who he is. He's spirit. And he said, worship me in spirit and in truth. He told the woman at the well, God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. We don't have to set up an idol or anything. And this is what he hates. It's an abomination to the Lord. He tell ye, bring them near. Let them take counsel together. Who had declared this from ancient time? And who had told it from this that time? Not I, the Lord. There is no God beside me. And a just God, a Savior, and there is none beside me. If we understand that fact and understand who Jesus is and understand only through him is eternal life, we will not worship anything outside of God, the truth. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return unto me void. In other words, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance to God, that Jesus is Lord. We have to know this. We got to have the knowledge of the truth of who God is. In Hosea the prophet that God used to demonstrate what was the unrighteousness of Israel and how they had gone away from him. They have turned away from God. In Hosea 4, he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will forget thy children. He said, you do not have this knowledge that you are holding to. What that knowledge that you're holding to is not the truth. I want you to come to know me, the truth of God. You will perish if you do not hold to this truth. He said, as they were increased, so their sin against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. He said, they eat up sin of my people and they set their heart on iniquity, on continuous deep sin. And there shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall come and hoard them, and that what he meant is going away from him, going away from God and worshiping any other thing else, and shall not increase. Because they have left off to take heed of the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. He wants our heart to be with him all the time. When Paul the Apostle went preaching, he went, and in Acts 17, he was preaching to the people who were in Greece and in Athens. And look what was happening. They had all these idols for all these different gods, and they had all the inscriptions on it. And he was trying to tell them. Paul waited for them in Athens, and the Spirit was stirred up with him, and he saw the city was wholly given to idolatry. And therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that they meet with him. And he was trying to get those who were the Jews to understand the faith in Jesus Christ and to get away from the law. And he was trying to get those who were worshiping idols of the Gentiles to come to believe in that Jesus is the Christ. And they took him and brought him unto the Areopagus, saying, may we know this new doctrine wherefore thou speak? They were so accustomed to these idols and everything else that they didn't even know that a God existed. Yet they had an inscription written to an unknown God and said, for I passed and beheld your devotions and I found an altar within this inscription to an unknown God. And that is the God that we serve. The one that you cannot see, that you cannot set up an idol for. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he need anything or giveth thing, but he giveth bread and life to all. He is the one. He had made of one blood of all nations men to dwell on the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed, and the bounds and the habitation. You see, he set all these boundaries and everything that men should dwell in different places. He put the sun so that we could have daylight, and the moon, that the reflection will have nighttime, even that light and the stars. And he feeds us, he takes care of us, and he is the real God. But you have him as an unknown God. But he is that God. He is the one that created everything. And they that seek the Lord, if haply you might feel after him and find him, though he is not far away from us, for in him we live and move and have our being, and for certain in our, even your poets, he said, write about him. He said, so this is the true God, and this is the one. For as much as then we are the offspring of God, we ought to think that the Godhead is like not unto gold or silver, or a graven image of stone or wood or anything like that. He said, in the times of your ignorance, that is, your ignorance means you not know, not having the knowledge of God. But now God commanded all men everywhere to repent, to turn away from your sins, turn away from your mind from sinning, and come to him and repent. Turn away completely and ask him for forgiveness. He said, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that every man whom he had ordained, wherefore he had given assurance unto all men that he had raised him from the dead, Jesus. And through him we have eternal life. And when they heard about the resurrection, they went away. They said, we'll hear about you another time. And a lot of people come to that point when they hear about either the resurrection or they hear something of Christ, that they don't want to believe, and they go away because they don't have the knowledge of the truth. They lack that knowledge to be saved, so they perish. We have to believe God and believe who he is. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, we see what Paul the Apostle was trying to get on to the people who had doubts. He said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. By the world's wisdom, they cannot come to know God, in other words. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. He said, people call this preaching foolishness. He said, for the Jews, they're looking for a sign. For the Greeks, they were looking for something that they want to believe in, which they need a statue, they need something to believe in. He said, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek for wisdom. They want always, they had all these people sitting down discussing all the time. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. If we have that wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of who he is, then we believe, then we come to him in truth. So if we are not holding to the truth of God, into the knowledge of the truth, then we're holding to something that's not right. Some people don't even believe there's a God. What Proverbs 10:21 says? It says, fools die for the lack of understanding of who God is. In Psalms 14, it tells you that those who do not believe there's a God are foolish. And he went on to say even a lot more, David, in that psalm. And I just want to touch on a few things. He said, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, and there's none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there were any that understand and seek God. They all have gone astray. They have all gone aside and altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, not one. If we know this, then we know for sure that we need a Savior. We cannot do anything to save ourselves but to have faith in Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 3:9, he said, God is not patient as man would think, or slack. He's not slack in his coming again. But he's patient towards us, that none perish, but all come to repentance. God in his mercy has sent Jesus Christ, and through him we have eternal life. Many do not believe this, but that doesn't change what the truth is. The knowledge of the truth of who God is what will bring us to that place we need to be. So how do we do this? In 1 Corinthians 8:6-7, he says, the world, by their knowledge, did not come to know God. They never came to know who he is because they didn't understand the truth of who he is. That there is one God and one Lord, Jesus Christ. He said, one God by whom are all things, and we are by him. We exist by him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, because he created all things, and we exist through him. If we have this understanding, see, but not all have this knowledge. But some worship idols and think that they have the truth. But this is not the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ is the only way. So let's receive him now. Let us come to him in truth. Understand this. Forgive those that you are holding in your heart. And say this prayer of salvation with me. And mean it with all your heart. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, forgive me for all of my sins. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose on the third day. I believe only through you is eternal life. I believe you are coming again for us. I thank you, Father, for this love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to receive the healing right now. Receive this healing that God has for you. A healing that is by faith and trusting in him, understanding who he is. In the scripture, it tells us that he's a God that healeth thee. He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So let's believe him for this healing now. Trust. For those in your household, those that you are holding in prayer, those that you are interceding for our nation. We want the Lord to heal our nation and heal it spiritually and also physically, the nations of the world. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God Almighty, I pray for healing, Lord, physical and spiritual healing, in the name of Jesus. Heal every sickness and disease, everything that's coming against nations that they cannot handle, like this COVID, oh God, touch and heal. Touch your people. Let them feel the presence and power of God. Let them know that they could get up and walk right now for those who cannot. Let them know that every sickness can be removed right now in the name of Jesus, by the power of the name of Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name, believe for your healing. This is not of man, this is of God. So receive by faith your healing now and trust in everything in your life, knowing that he is there for you. He wants you to believe him, to trust him, to know who he is, to have the knowledge of the truth of who he is, so that you might be saved, for you to understand each and every moment and every time that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel is there for you. Know and understand this. Again, we look at the scriptures. Each and every time we look at it, we see what he's saying in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2. Let's look at something here again. A little bit. It says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh and not mighty men and noble are called. And God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Why did God do this? Because he wants people to know that he is working in us, and we cannot do it by our strength. God has taken the weak and the foolish and people like me to use so that the wisdom of the world will look as naught before him. So we have to trust God and rely on him and not our own understanding. Trust him with all your heart. Amen. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.